And one time my kids were visiting me and they took the little thing off that was covering the scale and everyone weighed themselves and they came in tears. When you walked into this office, was anyone sad? No. Did anyone feel bad about themselves? No. But now all of a sudden, because you saw this number, somehow you're feeling bad about yourself or you've internalized that as a negative thing.
This is On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic, where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. I'm Tara Schmidt, a registered dietitian with Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. This episode, we're talking about weight neutrality. You're probably used to thinking about your weight as some big, scary number that tends to impact how you feel about yourself. But what if it was just a number? Not something good or bad, just something that is. If we imagine a world where we can unplug weight from health, it opens up a bunch of new possibilities. Ways to not just be healthy, but happy at all shapes and sizes. To learn how we can make this imagined world a reality, we're talking to Dr. Leslie Williams. Dr. Williams is a family medicine physician at Mayo Clinic in Phoenix, Arizona. She has expertise in eating disorders and is a staunch advocate for weight-inclusive care. Thank you for being here with me this afternoon, Dr. Williams.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
I really love this topic, whether you're in the medical field or in the public. I think weight neutrality is just really important and critical for adults and kids to know. I'm very, very stern with my kids about when they ask questions or if they make comments that they've heard before, because I care a lot about weight neutrality, and I'm sure you do too.
Yes, I feel like I've been a pioneer in this sphere for a really long time, and I think having kids really helps illustrate it for you. It's like your own little experiment on how the world influences what we think and how we think.
And speaking of kids, you are the author of a children's book, Free to Be Me, Self-Love for All Sizes. What prompted you to write that, and especially for a younger or pediatric population?
I've worked in the eating disorder realm for a really long time, and it felt like so many conversations, discussions, efforts were made around adolescence. And we recognize that adolescence is a very critical time when it comes to like body image and eating. But what I was noticing when I became a mom is that my daughter from a really young age was making comments about her body. And that was devastating to me because I felt like I had done so much work to create this safe environment within our home. But I recognize that that's just a small slice of what they see. And so my daughter would say, well, you're just saying that, mommy, because you're my mom. But there must be something wrong with me because when I look at books and I look on TV and I look in magazines, I don't see anyone that looks like me. And so that's when I decided, well, hey, she's right. Most of the books that we had didn't have like cute little round girls with round bellies. You know what I mean? It just wasn't a thing. And so that's what prompted me to like, hey, let's try and write something that shows images and then just talks about food and moving your body in a more neutral way.
That's so cool. I grew up in the 90s, and that is an absolutely toxic environment in terms of like what the magazines I read looked at on the covers, what they talked about in terms of celebrities when they maybe gained 5 pounds into a normal weight. It was ugly. And I don't know if you're a Swiftie or not. There's a line in a Taylor Swift song that says, you wouldn't last an hour in the asylum where they raised me. And I always think back, there's been this on Instagram of like people flashing all of these Cosmo and Teen Bop 17 covers of the media just being so cruel, actually to normal weight individuals, which is atrocious.
Luckily, there's more of a movement against it now being so blatant. But yes, I remember even growing up being a kid and thinking all my mom and her friends do is talk about what they're eating and what they're wearing, and they eat cottage cheese. And I can recall so vividly being a young girl thinking like, this is such a huge waste of female time. And that was really how I even got into this work, because I just was like, there has to be a better way to help women in particular, although men struggle as well, but help women in particular kind of mend that relationship with food and their bodies so they could just take that huge wealth of time and energy that they have and spend it enjoying life or curing cancer or whatever the case may be.
Out in the world, I think it's common for people who are thinner to be seen as healthier than people who are of a larger body size or a higher weight. What's the problem when people incorrectly, I'll say, correlate weight and size and health?
Well, I do think that as a medical community, we have a role to play in a lot of that misinformation, right? I think for so long, there's been this very kind of narrow view of like health equals weight. Mm-hmm. If you're outside of this box, then you're unhealthy naturally and you need to fix it. And health is so much more than that. And I feel like we do our patients and just the world at large a disservice when we just have such a monocular vision when it comes to weight. There are people that are unhealthy at all weights and shapes and sizes.
And can I say vice versa? We have people who are healthy at all
yes.
weights and shapes and sizes.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. And so when we just put people into this box, it really, I think, has a negative impact on health.
Yeah. And finally, in 2023, the AMA, or the American Medical Association, acknowledged the limitations of BMI to indicate a patient's holistic health. I think that was way late. And when people started talking about it, me as a dietitian, I was kind of like, yeah, I've known that for a long time.
Exactly.
I think most physicians have known this for a long time, but I guess I'm glad it's getting airtime. Like,
it's really interesting because when you go back and look at the whole origin of what happened with the American Medical Association and giving obesity, even if you will, this designation of a disease process, mm-hmm. they commissioned a work group to study this and see whether or not that was appropriate. And after a year of study, the work group came back and said, no, we actually don't think that it is, that weight in and of itself should not be pathologized. It is not necessarily a disease process. There may be some illnesses that are associated with higher weights, but we shouldn't pathologize just the number in and of itself. And the AMA said, oh, thank you for that feedback, and we're going to do it anyway. And so it was kind of like this most recent rollback was really more consistent with even their original findings. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm grateful for it in so many ways because it's starting a lot more of these conversations, but the data had never supported that in the first place.
We're a little slow sometimes. Part of your approach comes from the health at every size framework. Can you explain what that is?
When I think of health at every size, that's kind of like a trademark phrase, but we also think of it just in terms of weight inclusivity, right? So it's the idea that when someone comes in for me as a primary care physician to see me and I'm looking at their overall health, I really take that number on the scale and put that more as the back burner, where for a long time we had been trained as like, that's an additional vital sign. But I really take that out of the picture. So I look at their blood pressure, their lipid levels, their level of social engagement, their level of physical activity. And then I also will turn to each patient and find out, like, what are their goals? What kind of things do they want to achieve from a health perspective that they aren't currently, that I can help support them in? So when I think of it in terms of framework or putting it into practice as a physician, that's the approach that I take.
It's just a number. It's just your gravitational pull, everyone.
Yeah. And I try to de-villainize it.
Exactly.
For a long
exactly.
time. Yeah.
Is there a difference between weight inclusivity and weight neutral care?
They're very kind of overlapping. I think in both instances, it's this idea of we want to advocate for people of all sizes having access to exemplary health care. And when I think of it from the inclusive lens, I think of making sure that everything within my physical environment, as well as how I interact with the patients and everything that I do, is welcoming to people of all different sizes. But then when I think of weight neutral, it's that our interaction when it comes to your health is really going to treat that number on the scale as neutral. I'm not going to villainize it if it's super high. I'm going to treat that as a neutral piece of data and really lean into some of those other things.
And speaking of weight neutral, I remind myself of this. We should not always assume that we are celebrating someone's weight loss. Like, congratulations, you look great. And they're like, I got a divorce, or I'm sick, or I'm going through an incredibly stressful time. And if people want to be celebrated for their intentional weight loss, we're going to celebrate you because you worked your butt off. But just like we don't want to villainize a high weight in all cases, we don't want to also celebrate a low weight.
Absolutely. And I've actually had personal experience with that. About a year and a half ago, my husband got really, really sick with a very rare illness and was losing extraordinary amounts of weight. And we were able to see, like, firsthand how everyone wanted to congratulate him on how thin he was and ask him, how did he do it? He's like, well, actually, I'm kind of dying. You know, like, yeah. It was just
that
insane.
Shuts people up real fast.
Yeah, that people were just wanting to congratulate him. Mm-hmm. And then I also think about it on the flip side is people oftentimes just feel compelled. Like, if you've lost weight, it's almost like a knee jerk of someone has to say, great job, congratulations. And to your point, you don't know how that weight loss has happened. It could actually be something very negative and terrible in this person's life. But also the unwritten message is that something was wrong with you before.
Yes.
You know, and like, I think,
why didn't you say I looked great 10 pounds
exactly.
ago?
Exactly. So I think about it from a kid's point of view, right? And so I would see that so many times with young adolescents where maybe they're body had changed as they were going through puberty or whatever. But people, again, the knee jerk is to congratulate you and say good job. So now I need to continue to maintain this or continue this weight loss because I'm getting congratulated for it. And just by virtue of the fact that you never said anything to me before means that something was wrong.
And no one's intentions are wrong. So if you've ever congratulated someone on their weight loss,
right.
or if you've said that they looked good, all of what you were doing was out of the goodness of your heart. So I don't want anyone to feel bad. I just want people to be aware of maybe let's check in with that person before we make a comment.
Or exactly.
Physicians and dietitians, when we say, is it okay if we discuss your weight or are you interested in us talking about your weight? And if you say no, great, we're moving on. We can continue with the rest of your appointment.
And when it comes to weight in my own practice, I usually don't even bring it up unless the patient does. And so I think in general, I just advise people to like avoid commenting on people's bodies unless they want to invite you into that conversation.
If someone can't change something in their appearance in 5 seconds, you don't need to comment on it. If I have broccoli in my teeth, please tell me. If my husband's fly is down, I'm going to tell him. But if you can't change it in 5 seconds, you don't have to tell anyone anything.
I love that. That is an excellent rule of thumb. And I think about that. It's so funny when it comes to, again, this idea of size diversity is like, you know, we accept that people come with freckles or without or different shades of eyes, different hair colors. But it's like when we look at people coming in different sizes and shapes, then you want to place blame. And I will oftentimes tell patients like, hey, I don't even use the BMI chart as a guide, but patients will get upset because they're like, hey, I like have this really healthy lifestyle and everything's wonderful, but this chart says that I'm too big. And I'm like, well, it's kind of like your hair color. Like if you have black hair and you just want to have blonde hair, I'm sure there's a lot that you could do to achieve that goal.
Damaging.
Exactly. But it's not necessarily going to be healthy and it's not necessarily what's going to be best for your hair. So I talk about it in that context with my patients too, who feel just very compelled to like, all the books are saying X or all the charts are saying Y, you know, do I need to try and achieve that goal?
What do you think the benefits are for patients when healthcare providers adopt a weight neutral or weight inclusive approach to medicine? Do you have any examples?
The benefits are that you create an environment where everyone feels welcome and wants to come to you when they have a medical issue. I think there's so much weight stigma within healthcare. And when we look at the disparities, oftentimes when it comes to health outcomes, especially people of color, people in larger bodies, oftentimes the delay in treatment is the difference maker in terms of their outcomes. And frequently that delay happens because they don't feel comfortable. They feel fearful. Post-pandemic really highlighted that for me because there were so many patients that were like, I know I haven't been in for a while, but I gained 10 pounds and I was just so ashamed and I just didn't want to get in trouble. And so I just think of it from this perspective of like, hey, if you create an environment where everyone feels welcome and they feel accepted and seen and heard, how much better is that for the overall health of the world? You know, is that people are willing to come in and get the care that they need.
And that the care facility has the appropriate tools without
absolutely
someone having to run and go get a larger blood pressure cuff, or I'm sorry, sir, we'll get you a bigger gown or a gown to put on the back because your gown on the front doesn't cover up what you needed to cover up. So that's significant too, because it draws attention to someone's size of their body when if you don't need a new blood pressure cuff, you don't even think about it. But if someone has to run down the hallway to get you a new one every time, that's impactful.
And it's telling you, you don't belong here, right? We're not prepared for you. So you know what I mean? Like not having adequate seats and things like that. It's like you're giving the unspoken message that you're not welcomed.
Weight isn't everything, or even relevant to many aspects of your health. You can be unhealthy or healthy at any shape or size. And we shouldn't assume gaining weight equals bad or losing weight equals good. Weight is just weight. Dr. Williams and I try to minimize the role of weight in our practices, but that's not always true for the rest of healthcare. There's a lot more work to be done towards inclusivity and neutrality. Inclusivity looks like having an environment with the right furniture, equipment, etc., to accommodate anyone of any size. Neutrality looks like not making weight part of the conversation unless it's relevant. Unfortunately, not everyone is on board with this approach yet. So let's address some of the criticism and nuances of weight neutrality in healthcare and beyond. Are there any limitations or risks associated with taking an inclusive or neutral approach to healthcare?
Interesting question. I don't know that there are any risks other than other people thinking that you're crazy because it's a little bit not mainstream in terms of the approach. I have had some patients get upset because they are so accustomed to their whole life, their doctor wanting their weight and trying to change that being the driver of conversation, that they get upset with a different approach. So that's been interesting. I got a bad comment once from a patient who was really frustrated that I did not want to center our conversation around that. So there are some risks associated with that because it is a bit of a paradigm shift, but I feel like the benefits in terms of patient care, my rapport and relationship building, and just long-term outcomes with my patients really outweighs any potential risks.
Absolutely. There's a little bit of criticism out there that if you accept yourself or you accept someone else who has excess weight or has a diagnosis of obesity, that you're kind of glorifying it or you're encouraging someone to ignore their weight if that's associated with health risks. How do you respond?
You know, that's interesting. I feel like some of the initial work that was done around weight stigma and like stigmatizing language was people felt like I need to do this because I am so concerned about this person's health, right? But what all of the research has shown to date is that actually it has a negative impact on health. So if truly in our hearts, our goal is to make that person work harder towards their health goals or whatever the thought process is, the actual opposite is true. So I challenge that. I feel like that a lot of it is rooted in fat phobia, and I really don't feel like the motivation behind it is really geared towards someone's health and improving it.
I agree. Are there any other misconceptions that you hear about a weight neutral framework?
I think a lot of the pushback that I get is that there's all of these health risks that go along with being in a larger body, and that if you are not focused on weight, you can't address those. And I just don't necessarily think that that's true. I think I've been able to successfully help my patients navigate whatever their health issues are without focusing on their weight. It doesn't mean that we may not go into some type of intervention that ends up in some change in their body weight or shape, but I don't think that singularly focusing on their body size is the route that I need to take. And so I really just look at their metabolic markers or whatever else is important to them and important from a long-term health perspective, and I let that be the focus.
You can have incredible success improving your A1C, your blood sugar, or your blood pressure, or your stress, or your mood, whatever it may be. And your weight may not change at all.
Change.
We can still celebrate that.
Exactly. And that's the thing, because what I have found historically in a more weight-centric approach is that patients will go, you give them this whole prescription of all these things that they need to do. And they're like, I've done all of those things. My weight hasn't changed 1 ounce. Why am I doing this? This sucks. I want to go back to how my life was before. And so A, they don't want to come back for a follow-up visit because they haven't seen any objective change on the scale and they're afraid they're going to quote unquote get in trouble. They don't maintain the lifestyle changes because someone told them that if they did these things, the number on the scale was going to go down and there were going to be rainbows and kittens and their whole life was going to be wonderful.
And now it's
not important.
That
didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so I'm not doing that. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And so I feel like that's a bit of the danger in that weight-centric approach and why I prefer to like decentralize it, because it's like you can do so many amazing things, just like you said, and your weight never changes. Your lipids can look better. Your blood sugars can look better. You can feel better. You can have more energy. You can be more flexible. You can have more stamina and the number doesn't change. And that's just the reality of how our bodies are set up, especially women as we mature. Things are changing that are dependent on hormone levels and so many other things that are outside of our control. And so I'm frank with my patients about that. Like, hey, we're doing this stuff for the long term. I'm not here for you to like go on Biggest Loser and show that you lost some huge amount of weight within a short period of time. Like, I'm here to help you make sustainable lifestyle changes that are going to improve your health for the long term.
This is a bit dramatic, but no one's death certificate is going to have a reference to their weight, right? It will say this was cardiac related or this was some disease state related, and hopefully it's not and you just die of old age. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to say your weight. That's not what is going to be the factor. So let's not talk about weight. Let's talk about the factors, and let's talk about your heart health, and let's talk about how your pancreas is doing and maybe how your liver is doing, et cetera, because those are your organs. Your weight is just your weight.
Yeah, it can be a little bit challenging because people have just come so accustomed to the weight conversation. It's everywhere. It's pretty much in the air we breathe. But I do hope to help people find some freedom from that and really just focus on living a happy, healthy life.
Talk to me a little bit about patients with eating disorders. So how have you seen this approach impact those types of patients?
Eating disorders can be really challenging because depending on what type of eating disorder the patient is dealing with, and if they have a lot of health consequences that can occur from severe malnutrition, there may be a season and time where we do have to focus on weight, right? Because we have to provide nutrition rehabilitation and weight restoration to get your body back to a point where it is operating optimally. Mm-hmm. So no, someone with severe malnutrition due to an eating disorder, them coming back with a, well, I'm just weight neutral is not gonna fly. We're gonna need to get your body nourished.
With a weight-neutral approach, it's pretty clear the rewards outweigh the risks, but it can be jarring for folks who are used to weight being the center of the conversation. However, we've got plenty of data that stigmatizing weight is actually bad for your health, rather than motivating. And weight neutrality doesn't mean we're neutral on health. It means that we focus on the more direct indicators of health, like your A1C, lipids, energy, and mood. Working on those things might very well cause you to lose weight, but you can also improve some health indicators and get celebration-worthy results without losing weight at all. To close things out, let's learn more about how we can free our bodies and our minds in a weight-centric world. How can someone feel like they're practicing a healthy lifestyle or stay healthy without keeping an eye on the scale?
There are so many ways. First of all, I usually talk with my patients about like what their goals are. For instance, someone might come in and say, you know what? I have been so sedentary. I can't even go around the block with my kids. I get exhausted. So like, let's figure that out as a goal. Or I used to ride my bike all the time and I want to do that. Or our whole life is just on the go, on the go, on the go, that I'm eating out so much and eating so much fast food that I really just feel like sluggish. I don't feel like myself. I want to get back to like preparing more fresh foods. Like, I just feel like there's a lot of goal setting that could be done outside of the scale. Maybe if some people feel like they want to keep a general gauge on their weight, maybe that's something that's done every like 6 to 12 months. But I think that if you're someone that's like weighing every single day or multiple times a day or after every meal, like that's really excessive. And I don't know that that's really going to create kind of that health promoting environment or culture that we're hoping you'll want to create for yourself.
It's kind of the opposite, right? Because we don't have control day to day, let's say, on our weight. So there's no use in creating a weight goal for the end of next week or even the end of next month, because how are you going to control that? And I know that I'm part of the Mayo Clinic diet. I try to help people lose weight healthfully. So I get it. But I've never once in my whole career had a patient set a weight goal with me and then walk out of my office. Never have I been written down someone's weight. I've written down, I will walk for 20 minutes right over my lunch break. I will decrease my intake of X to once a week, because those are things you can actually do and check the box. And maybe your weight goes down as a result. And if that was your goal, then we can celebrate it. But you can still have those things benefit you. The weight doesn't change. And if you didn't even weigh yourself, now you don't feel like chucking your scale out the window.
You want to celebrate those small wins that we have control over. And so that's really the way I like to go. And then again, if patients want to look at overall trajectories, I'll graph it out. But usually those trends are, again, weights that are being taken maybe every 6 to 12 months or something, but not like a daily, weekly chronicle. I don't feel like that's helpful.
I agree. It's one thing to understand that your health isn't necessarily tied to your body size, but it's also a different thing to embrace it, especially in the culture that we live in. So what is your advice to someone who wants to adopt this kind of mindset?
It can be very challenging and you have to be intentional. I think one of the first things you can do, because so many people are plugged into social media, is to audit your social media page.
Oh, heck yeah.
Is to look at the stuff that you're following. And there are so many people out there who are celebrating body diversity and body acceptance, and just like look at adding that stuff into the visuals that you're seeing, because we're impacted by things that we're taking in visually, even if there's no active absorbing of the information. So it's like being really cognizant of like what you surround yourself with and the messages that you surround yourself with, the people that you spend time with. Like maybe you're in a group of friends that wants to spend every meal talking about what they're not going to eat and not eating. And you know what I mean? That
don't
type of thing.
Me. And
that exactly, I don't want to be there either. But if that is your social environment and you love these people, maybe you guys need to, like, instead of going out to eat, go to the park or something, or just tell them like, hey, can we talk about something different? Like, you just have to be somewhat intentional about what you're taking in. And then I think also just giving yourself grace, right? There's going to be times when your body's going to fluctuate, where it's going to change due to a whole myriad of things that are completely outside of our control, and how you just love your body for what it can do for you and how you want to maintain your overall body health and wellness without being so focused on the appearance aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's really hard because every other message that you see is to the contrary. So it does take work.
I think it's really important to surround yourself, if possible, or even at least edit your social media, like you said, to help you feel like you're included in something that's positive, that you don't feel judged or that you're failing. I think it's really important, like postpartum, right? Like, hey, look, that other woman is wearing an adult diaper just like me and still looks pregnant, even though I had my baby a week ago. Or someone else's living room is insanely messy. That's okay. And get rid of the social media, which a lot of it's fake, of course, that makes me feel inferior.
Absolutely. If you see an image that makes you judge yourself or feel uncomfortable or not feel seen or heard, that is probably someone that you need to unfollow and not have that person be anywhere in your universe, because you want to just surround yourself by things that fill you up.
How can we talk about this, though, with family, friends, loved ones who don't agree, right? It's easy enough for me to click unfollow or unfriend, but what about a conversation in real life with someone that you want to be blunt with and say that I don't appreciate maybe how you discuss that, or can we be a little bit more neutral?
You know, that can be a challenge. It's funny because I've been doing this work for long enough that I think people avoid me. So it's been a little while since I've had to like redirect someone. But I think that just saying, hey, I'd really appreciate it if we would avoid talking about people's bodies, or as a mom, like, hey, I'd really appreciate if you didn't comment on my child's body, or please don't even comment on your own body. You know, again, back to like kids and people just being influenced by what they hear, even if you're not talking about them directly, but you're talking about another person or even about your own self indirectly, people absorb that because they interpret that message that somehow is speaking to them. And so I think that there are ways to just say, hey, you know, I just prefer that we not talk about people's bodies, please. And that's usually how I do it. And people will respect that, but it doesn't mean you won't have to have the conversation again.
What are we still trying to learn about weight inclusivity and weight inclusive care?
I think we're honestly still trying to learn how to incorporate it. I feel like those of us who do this work feel really comfortable with it, but by and large, it is not something that people are accustomed to, because again, weight has been the focus for so long that I think it's going to take a while for the tide to shift. And I think the most recent wave of new drugs that have come out have made that even more challenging, right? Because even if patients maybe had no concerns about their weight whatsoever, everywhere they go, there's something telling them that there's a new medication on the market, or people are telling them that they need to go ask their doctor about it. I've had people come in and say, someone came to me at the gym and told me that I should come in and ask about this.
Barf.
And yeah, exactly. So bananas, but it's happening. So I think that it's kind of added a little fuel to this conversation. So it's definitely a work in progress.
For patients who don't wish to talk about their weight or feel like they are relatively healthy, regardless of a higher body weight, if their provider brings up weight and is lecturing them about weight, but they're not interested in having that conversation, how do you have patients speak back to a provider who, again, not intentionally, it's probably just habit? Healthcare is really bad with weight bias, except for the two of us, of course.
But in general, healthcare is actually one of the places where weight bias is perpetuated the most, because it is so ingrained, even to where the scales are placed, to the BMI charts
and things
that are.
And
I do too. I do too. I have them in a little hole next to my desk. There's like a little purgatory I put them in. But yeah, it's everywhere. But I totally empower patients to advocate for themselves. I tell them, you should feel completely comfortable telling a nurse that you would not like to be weighed today, telling a provider that you don't wish to discuss your weight, and redirecting the conversation to whatever your primary concerns are. I also advocate for parents doing the same with their pediatricians, telling them that I do not want you to discuss weight in front of my child. If there are some concerns in terms of trends, I would like for us to have that conversation in private. And there's even these don't weigh me cards.
Oh, yes.
I have them.
I know
yes. I have them and will give them to patients so that if they don't feel comfortable based on their personality, like being able to speak up for themselves, just handing that to the nurse. And then that's the end of it, where they don't have to actually say anything. But I definitely try to empower patients to speak up and advocate for themselves. When I was in private practice, I used to have a scale and I had the number covered up and it would transmit to something on my desk, and everyone got a blind weight. And I would have the number available if I needed it, but 9 times out of 10, I might not. And the patient really didn't need that information. And one time my kids were visiting me and they took the little thing off that was covering the scale and everyone weighed themselves and they came in tears. My son was like, I weighed myself and I was smaller than my daughter. And so now I feel bad about myself. And then my daughter, who was younger than my son, was like, well, I weighed myself and my number was bigger than his. And now I feel bad about myself. Ugh. And I was like, and that is exactly why I cover them in the first place. When you walked into this office, was anyone sad? No. Did anyone feel bad about themselves? No. But now all of a sudden, because you saw this number, somehow you're feeling bad about yourself or you've internalized that as a negative thing. So yeah, I think that we could, in a perfect world, get rid of that as like a public number and just utilize that when we need to, which honestly in medicine is rarer than we think, even though we take weights at every
possible
moment.
If you need a medication that is weight dose dependent, fine. Yeah, other than exactly. That, meh.
Dr. Williams, it was an absolute pleasure to talk with you today. Thank you for sharing all of your expertise and your knowledge. Now I feel more passionate than I was before.
Well, I'm excited. I have another advocate in the fight.
So if you want to untangle your weight from your health, think about your goals. Can you set goals for movement, how you want to eat, or the types of activities you do, and how often? After that, think about how to change your mind. Maybe it's time for a social media edit. Unfollow accounts that make you feel bad about yourself or stigmatize weight, and try following ones that promote body acceptance or feature folks of many different sizes in equally positive ways. And if your friends, family, or social circles tend to fixate on weight, try changing the subject or politely shutting down unwanted conversations. When it comes to healthcare, feel free to be direct with providers if that's something you feel comfortable doing. You can ask to not be weighed at an appointment. And if your provider brings up your weight, you can decline to discuss it and steer the conversation back to your other concerns. And while that burden shouldn't be put on the patient, know that there are many of us out there that support you and are trying to turn the tide. That's all for this episode. But if you've got a question or topic suggestion, you can leave us a voicemail at 507-538-6272. We might even feature your voice on the show. For more On Nutrition episodes and resources, check us out online at mayoclinic.org/onnutrition. And if you found the show helpful, please subscribe and make sure to rate and review us on your podcast app. It really helps others find our show. Thanks for listening. And until next time, eat well and be well.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as medical or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified healthcare provider for any medical questions. The appearance of any guest does not imply an endorsement of them, their employer, or any entity they represent. The views and opinions are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views of Mayo Clinic. Reference to any product, service, or entity does not constitute an endorsement of or recommendation by Mayo Clinic.